Well, this service has just been a real, real blessing to me. I trust it has been for you too. Like this evening to look at the 10th chapter of Luke. Like to read a familiar passage. Luke 10, and we'll start at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Didn't the lawyer ask a question that we all are interested in knowing for ourselves? Have you ever just, Lord, what must I do to be saved? That's the most important thing in life, is to be saved. It doesn't get any more important than that. And sometimes we can live our lives and I don't mean to sound this for this to sound wrong, but we can get in the habit of doing the right thing, which is a good habit to be in. I want to be in the habit of doing the right thing. But I also want to know what it is that I need to do specifically to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because there's a lot of people that do a lot of right things that aren't going to make it into heaven. I want to know what I need to do to make it to heaven. Well, this man felt like he was living up to what he had been told to a point, but he wanted to make sure. Lord, who is my neighbor? And Jesus provided a response that was recorded for the ages. And he said, A certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Did you know that we all, in varying forms, fall among those in life and encounter situations in life where we feel like something is taken from us that belongs to us? You ever been there? You ever felt like something was taken from you? You know, I believe this parable has a whole lot more to do than just a man who was physically harmed by somebody that didn't even know him and left him physically in trouble on the side of the road in health. I believe that this parable speaks to us in many different ways. Because I believe that, and I know, that throughout the course of life, we are going to feel like, and we're going to encounter situations where we feel like we've been robbed of something that was ours. Our dignity, our joy, our peace. Sometimes physical and material things too, but you know, a lot of times those are the easiest to recover from. The things that are most difficult to recover from are those things that are taken from us, that are from our heart, who we are as a person. Sometimes we feel like people misrepresent us in a negative way, and we're left feeling like we've been put on the side of the road, wounded and left to try and recover. And did you know that sometimes it takes a long time to recover from some of the wounds that we feel in life? And sometimes people never get over those things that are taken from them. This man was wounded and left on the side of the road, and without the help from someone, it's possible that this man would have died. Sometimes people die in other areas. Sometimes people languish for a while on the side of the road, although it's not really the side of the road, it's life. And people die in their self-esteem. People can feel loneliness that goes unmet for a long time. And there's something in them that perishes and dies and goes away. People experience hurt and loss. And sometimes if their needs are not met, there's parts of people that eventually die and they're never the same again. Did you know that we need each other more than what we realize a lot of times? We need each other. You all need each other. I need you. And sometimes the people that you least think needs anybody else to help them are sometimes the very people that need the most help. May the Lord help us to have the mind of Christ if we're the one that is passing by. We live in a world full of trouble. And we've mentioned this before, and you know this because we're human beings. But I mean, I'll just tell you, most of the time I'm not going to come through the back door and try to put on a sad countenance. We do our best to put on like we have it all together. I mean, most people don't go through life and get up in the morning and say, I'm going to go to work today and I want people to know that I don't have it together in my life. I want people to know that I'm in trouble. I mean, sometimes we need a little, we want a little sympathy, and sometimes there's some people we're around, and we might, you know, maybe it's your spouse, and you mope around a little bit until she asks you what's wrong so you can get a little sympathy. But you know what I'm saying? People, you want people to think well of you. You don't want people to think that, well, that person over there, they've lost everything. Their self-confidence is gone. They're lonely. They're in trouble. They're one of these unhappy people in life. We as human beings have this nature about us where we tend to do everything we can to put on a good front, a happy face. We come to church and we dress our best. We put on a smile. We want folks to think we have it together. We sit in our pews. We can go through the service and kind of fill our part and our spot, and we go back out the back door and go home. And sometimes there are great vacancies that came in the back door and went out the back door. And in life, go to work with a vacancy, you go home with a vacancy. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, well, I'm not going to read the next part yet. If you knew that somebody was in trouble, and you heard that, oh, but wait, a priest passed by his way, what would you think? You think, the guy's got hope. A priest is going by. This is somebody that represents good. Isn't that what this meant? A priest's got somebody in trouble. There's a priest getting ready to come by. Somebody that's religious. Someone that you would think would do good. At least outwardly, that's what it looks like, right? But it said that he passed by on the other side. I remember when I was in high school, I rang a Salvation Army bell one time as part of a school kind of function. Me and one of my buddies stood out in front of a store, and there was a breezeway. You come in one set of doors, and then we were standing in the breezeway, and then there's the next set of doors. And of course, I was a kid, and I probably thought more things were funny than sad, probably more than I should have. But it was really interesting to watch people coming towards you. I mean, right towards you. And then they'd lift their head up and they'd see you there, and they'd walk all the way over to the other side and come in the door and go in, just so that they wouldn't have to pass by you and feel an obligation to give. I'm not promoting Salvation Army or not promoting. That's not my point tonight. And then it would happen the other way. They'd come out of the store, and it was like they're coming right towards you, and then they realize, oh yeah, that guy with that red apron is on right there. I'm going to go over here and go out. Did you know that? I just want to say this as a heads up. People notice more than what you think they notice. That's right. Sometimes we think people are oblivious to the decisions we make. And they think, well, they're not going to notice me. I'm just, you know, fiddling with something. I'm just going to go over here. But people notice a lot of times, particularly if there's a pattern to it. We went to a diner sometime back for lunch, and on Sunday. And I was talking to the waitress, Kathy, and I think Andrew might have been with us. And I asked her how she was doing, and she said, it's a Sunday crowd today. And I thought, oh, a Sunday crowd. I said, oh, what about the Sunday crowd? And she said, well, that's our worst day. That's my worst day. She said, the Sunday crowd, she said, they are the most demanding, the hardest to please, and give the smallest tips. The Sunday crowd? Sunday crowd. This is my worst day. And it just, that was sad to me. Isn't it supposed to be exactly the opposite? The priest walked by. He's a priest. He represents what's good. He represents religion. He represents good acts, good works. And yet, he passed by on the other side. People do see us coming, and we do represent something. And people do recognize many times, not always, but they see when you pass to the other side sometimes. And even if they don't, we represent something that God intended to be a help to other people. We're Christians who profess godliness, are we not? And I feel like that sometimes people, not just Christians, but people in general, have a tendency to pass to the other side when they see somebody in trouble. Why do you think that is? What are some of the reasons? Maybe I could write some of them on the board. What's a reason that somebody might pass to the other side? What do you think? Why do people go to the other side? Don't want to be involved. If I spell something wrong, forgive me.
Sometimes they don't know what to do.
Don't know what to do. What else? Okay, what else?
They're going to put on a show.
Say that again?
They're like they're just not really in need and just trying to get something out of you sometimes. Not how you work that.
Oh, I got it. Okay. No real need. Okay, anything else? I think we can all relate to that, can't we? So, people don't want to get involved. Sometimes they don't know what to do. Sometimes, a lot of times, it's inconvenient. It interrupts our schedule. It interrupts our agenda. We live in a fast-paced world, don't we? We all have more that we would like to do often than what we have time to do. And so when we pass by somebody and we realize, you know what, if I stop, this is going to be inconvenient. And my agenda, my schedule is going to get messed up. And I don't really want to get involved. And afraid. Does anybody like to get outside of their comfort zone? Is anybody here thrive on getting outside of your comfort zone? We don't, do we? We have our little boxes that we're comfortable in, and we like staying in our little boxes. We don't like stepping outside of our comfort zone. And when we come face to face, perhaps unexpectedly, with something that requires us to step out, we can become afraid. And then there's always reasons, and you'll hear me say that a lot, because there's always reasons to justify whatever it is you want to do. And this is one. I mean, sometimes it's valid. Sometimes people are just putting on a show. They're just trying to get something. And it's like I'm really not interested in participating in that. And sometimes you know. I'm not saying you're supposed to stop every time somebody's putting on a show. But I'm talking about our motives and where we are. But we can have reasons, a lot of reasons. And sometimes we don't know what to do. When we see people in need as human beings, we leap right past the point of just showing care. Hey, I care about you. At least this is the way I am. I go into solution mode. Here's a problem. What's the solution? Well, if we're going to take care of that, we need to do this, 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 and then we can be at the end point and have a solution. Oh, I'm not sure that that's within my capability today, and maybe I'll think about it while I pass by. And finally decide after I'm 10 miles down the road that, yeah, well, maybe that's not right for me. And forget all about, maybe I don't know how to handle it. But I could have showed that I cared. And don't get me wrong tonight. I'm not saying that every car you see parked on the side of the road, you're supposed to stop. That's not what I'm saying either. We live in some dangerous times out there today. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking, you know, it isn't cars that we most often pass where our biggest opportunities are. Your biggest opportunities are right here. They're in your own neighborhood. They're in your place of work, oftentimes. But we can become so caught up in what it is that we're doing that we don't even notice sometimes the needs that are in front of us. And when we do notice, there's a whole bunch of really good reasons why we justify just moving right on down the road. But how do we best preach the gospel? Do we best preach the gospel with, brother, I hope you be warmed and filled and that blood will stop flowing at some point and we keep rolling? Does that work? Do empty words mean anything if they're never backed up with any kind of action at all? It isn't condemnation that draws people to Christ either. Sometimes the biggest needs that we see around us are the lost, the unsaved, people who they're dying. We live in a lost and dying world, and people are on the side of the road, and the enemy has robbed them of salvation, and they've been deceived, they're given over to sin, and they're dying. And us walking by with words of condemnation most often doesn't draw people to Christ. Do you know what draws people to Christ? Love. Acts of love. Care. Genuine care. A genuine smile. A genuine, I've been thinking about you this week, and I care about you, and I noticed that things may be a little rough, and if there's anything I can do to help, I want you to know I am here for you. I may not know how to solve everything, but I'm your friend. I mean, there's ways of saying that without saying anything. Just being there for people. That's how we preach the gospel most effectively. Preach the gospel always. And when necessary, use words. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Well, at least he looked at him. He considered him. I don't know what he thought when he looked on him, but I know this. I have been guilty many times in life of passing by and looking on the situation, and all of these things go through my mind as I pass by. It's not that I don't care. I do care. But I'm struggling with these things because they're real. I really am afraid. It really is outside of my comfort zone. I really do have reasons why maybe it's not necessary right now. It is inconvenient. I've got some other things that, you know, are going to be affected by it, and I don't really know what to do. And that involvement thing, I don't really know where that's going to go. And so I've been guilty many times of just passing by. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Wait a minute. But a certain Samaritan, it does say Samaritan. But it was talking about a man from Jerusalem that was headed to Jericho. And now a Samaritan man came by, somebody that you wouldn't consider being the one that would have helped the person in the first place. And yet the Samaritan man stopped to help. You want to know what a real poignant learning was for me that I'll never forget? An eye-opener. I've been to Atlanta many times for work. I've walked down Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta many times. And there's many people on the street. And I remember going into a store, I don't remember what it was, a restaurant, something. And there was a man that was sitting up right by where I was as I was going in, and he looked absolutely pitiful. He was obviously homeless. He was malnourished. His clothes were in pitiful shape. He was in pitiful shape. He was all drawn up, and he was sitting on the sidewalk right there, and he had a cup that he was holding out. And there was no denying the fact this man could use some help. Now, you know, how wise would he be with the help that he received? I don't know. But he needed help. And here's what happened. I was watching. It all happened fast. And all of a sudden, here came another homeless man that wasn't in much better shape than this man was. And you know what he did? He reached in his pocket and pulled out his change and gave that man part of what he had. How do you think that made me feel? I was planning on helping the man when I came back out of the store. But this was when I was going in. How can we live life? Let me rephrase it. Do you think Christ wants us to live life with all of the blessings that we have and never take the time to stop and help somebody that may be in need? This struck me, this example struck me when I saw that happen. May God help us have a heart to help other people. And Jesus then asked him, which now of these three, because the Samaritan man came by, somebody who you would not have thought would have helped the man. And before we go on, I want to say this. Be careful in how you judge other people. Because it would have been really easy for the Samaritan to been judged ahead of time. He said, well, that's a Samaritan. He's not going to have anything to do with that man. I mean, that's just the way they think. And yet, he was the one that helped. The homeless man on the street, the one that we can find so many reasons why, well, their motives are all bad. This destitute man took the little bit that he had and shared it with this other man, while people that had plenty were passing by. And again, I'm not, my message is not promoting going out on the streets and just giving to everybody that you see. I will leave that with you and the Lord. But I do know this, that we are apt as people to find a lot of reasons why to keep on passing by and to keep walking. And it's also really easy for us to be quick to judge other people that we think have one motive and one mindset when they really have something completely different in their mind and their heart. And that was a lesson to me. Rod, be careful how you judge. Rod, you need make sure that you have more of a heart to give and help. There's people out there that don't walk through the front doors of a church every Sunday that are out there that are willing to give that I would never have thought would have been willing to give. And Jesus asked him, of these three, who do you think was the neighbor? And he said, the one that showed mercy on him. We are neighbor to everyone that we come in contact with. That's your neighbor. Including your spouse and your children. Did you know that sometimes the people that you know the best are the easiest ones to walk right past and not recognize their need, and they're crying out for help? Your children, your spouse, your friends, congregants. And sometimes we can become so focused on the agenda that we already have in our mind that we have blinders on almost to the needs that are right next to us. Sometimes in our own household. The people that perhaps we have the most responsibility for and to. I've known there are people out there that will give the shirt off their back to the person on the street corner, but you can't hardly get them to give anything to their spouse. There's something wrong with that picture. I want to have my eyes open to recognize the needs that are right in front of me, because those are the ones that I'm most often going to encounter. I want to have more than a profession. I want to have the love of God working in me. And before I close, I want to read these words. It says, I was racing through the airport to make an early flight. I wanted to get home to see my children and my wife. I rushed around the corner. An apple stand was there. Until I knocked it over, the fruit went everywhere. At first, I kept on going. I just couldn't miss that plane. I looked over my shoulder, not stopping to explain. A girl was down there on her knees, groping round to find the apples scattered on the floor. Then I saw the girl was blind. As my plane was leaving, I stopped to lend a hand. I picked up all the apples, restored the apple stand. To replace the bruised and broken in her fingers, pressed some bills. As I hugged her narrow shoulders, she reached to hold me still and said, "Excuse me. Are you Jesus? Is that why you are so kind? Excuse me, are you Jesus to have had me on your mind? You picked up all the pieces, the bruised and broken parts. You put me back in business. You were Jesus to my heart. Once I was bruised and broken, blind and groping on my way, when someone stopped to help me, paid the damage, made me say, "Excuse me, are you Jesus?" Folks, Jesus wants our actions to represent His love. Our apple carts get turned upside down in life. Other people's apple carts get turned upside down, and sometimes we're the cause. Do we notice? Do we care? Do we take time to stop? Do what we can to show that we care? Help those that perhaps are blind, are needy, are maimed, crying out for help? Or are we so focused on our own agenda that we rush right on? When Jesus was speaking of the ones that He separated to His right and His left hand, do you remember the ones that He separated to His right that He referred to as the sheep? In every single case, in that particular parable, it was people that had given of themselves to help somebody else that was in need. In every single case. And I'm challenged by that, personally. Challenged by that. In the busy times that we live in, let's be challenged not to neglect to take the gospel, to preach the gospel of Christ by our love, by our actions. We can have such a positive effect on people more than what we ever dreamed, and it doesn't take as much as you often think. A smile, a touch, a genuine expression of care, a little bit of time. So what is a key message from the parable that we read tonight? For me, it's go and do likewise. And that's what I want to do. I don't want to get in a rut. I don't want to be like the priest who is secure in his religion. But I want to be willing. I can't be all things to all people. And I'm not endeavoring tonight to try to tell you that in every case you are the person that is supposed to stop. Because sometimes it's outside of what we're able. That's not my message. My message tonight, let's never forget that without love, without genuine care, our profession becomes as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And there abideth faith and hope and charity. These three. But the greatest of all of them supersedes everything else is charity. May God bless each one of you is my prayer tonight. Amen.